The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back. As liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves.
This is a lousy country.
Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller. It is the 20th of July, 2016. If you all remember, a week or so ago, I think it's been about 2 weeks, I was talking about the Clinton Foundation. And while all of this is going on about the emails and how the head of the FBI saying no reasonable prosecutor bring charges against Hillary. Well, in your face, America, the deal was struck. She was to be protected. And since we're not on the inside with the Clinton Foundation or with Hillary's circle of friends, we can deduce and surmise why this went down the way it did. Now, emails aside, I mentioned the Clinton Foundation, and I mentioned Haiti. There is a guy, Dinesh D'Souza, that is coming out, and I guess this is going to be released in 2 days. It hits the theaters Friday. Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party. This guy, this Dinesh character, dug up stuff that I had absolutely no idea about. Anything that was bad in this country, yeah, you could pretty much go to Democrats, the social engineering, whether it was the issue of slavery, I don't care what it is. And if I'm sounding a little bit Republican at this point, don't let that scare you. These boys were with the bankers in Wall Street, and, well, they had their fun. It was kind of two different sides of the same old nasty coin. One, you got the engineering, and on the other side, you got hijacked, or at least your wealth did. Well, as I said, D'Souza is coming out with his movie. It's going to be released in theaters the 22nd, which is Friday. And this is lifted directly out of his book. This is excerpted, I'll get that out, from Dinesh D'Souza's new book. He writes in part, in January 2015, a group of Haitians surrounded the New York offices of the Clinton Foundation. They chanted slogans accusing Bill and Hillary Clinton of having robbed them of billions of dollars. 2 months later, the Haitians were at it again, accusing the Clintons of duplicity, malfeasance, theft. May of 2015, they were back, this time outside New York's Cipriani, where Bill Clinton received an award, collected a paltry $500,000 check for his foundation. The Haitian sign reads things like this: Clinton, where's the money? In whose pocket? Dahoud Andri of the Commission Against Dictatorship, he says, we are telling the world of the crimes that Bill and Hillary Clinton are responsible for in Haiti. Now, Haitians like Andre may sound a bit strident, but he and the protesters had a very good reason to be disgruntled. They had suffered a heavy blow from Mother Nature, and it appeared that they were being battered again, this time by the Clintons. Their story goes back to 2010, when a massive earthquake, and they have it down as a 7.0, I think it was higher than that, but at any rate, the devastation it left behind really couldn't have been measured on a Richter scale, folks, because it killed 200,000 people, leveled 100,000 homes, and it basically left 1.5 million people out in the street, totally homeless and destitute. It isn't like Haiti's got a good economy. The devastating effect of that earthquake in a very poor nation provoked worldwide concern and inspired an outpouring of aid money intended to rebuild Haiti. Countries around the world, as well as private and philanthropic groups such as the Red Cross and the Salvation Army, provided $10.5 billion in aid, with $3.9 billion coming from the United States. Haitians such as Andre, however, noticed that very little of this aid money actually got to the poor people in Haiti. Some projects championed by the Clintons, such as building of industrial parks and posh hotels, cost a great deal of money and offered scarce benefits to the truly needy. Port-au-Prince was supposed to be rebuilt. It was never rebuilt. Projects aimed at creating jobs proved to be bitter disappointments. Haitian unemployment remained high, largely undented by the funds that were supposed to pour into the country. Famine and illness continued to devastate the island nation. The Haitians were initially sympathetic to the Clintons. One may say they believed in the message of hope and change. With his customary overstatement, Bill told the media, wouldn't it be great if they become the first wireless nation in the world? They could, I'm telling you, they really could. I don't blame the Haitians for falling for it. Bill is one of the world's greatest storytellers. He has fooled people that were far more sophisticated than poor Haitians. Over time, however, the Haitians wised up. Whatever their initial expectations, many saw that much of the aid money seemed to have never reached a destination. Rather, it just kind of dissipated and disappeared along the way. So where did it go? It did not escape the attention of the Haitians that Bill Clinton was the designated UN representative for aid to Haiti. Following the earthquake, Bill Clinton had, with media fanfare, of course, established the Haitian Reconstruction Fund. Meanwhile, wife Hillary was the United States Secretary of State. She was in charge of U.S. aid allocated to Haiti. Together, the Clintons were the two most powerful people who controlled the flow of funds to Haiti from around the world. The Haitian protesters noticed an interesting pattern involving the Clintons and the designation of how aid funds were used. They observed that a number of companies that received contracts in Haiti happened to be the entities that made large donations to the Clinton Foundation. The Haitian contracts appeared less tailored to the needs of Haiti than to the needs of companies who were performing the services. In sum, Haitian deals appear to be a quid pro quo for filling the coffers of the Clintons. For example, the Clinton Foundation selected Clayton Homes, a construction company owned by Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, to build temporary shelters in Haiti. Buffett is an active member of the Clinton Global Initiative, who has donated generously to the Clintons as well as the Clinton Foundation. The contract was supposed to be given through the normal United Nations bidding process, with a deal going to the lowest bidder who met the project standards. UN officials said, however, that the contract was never competitively bid for. Clayton offered to build hurricane-proof trailers. I don't know exactly how you do that, but what they actually delivered turned out to be kind of a disaster itself. The trailers themselves were structurally unsafe, with high levels of formaldehyde and insulation coming out of the walls. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Remember all the FEMA trailers that were down there in New Orleans? That they were deemed unsafe because of all the formaldehyde in them? No, I don't think so. But wouldn't it have been a cute thing if they hauled the FEMA trailers over to Haiti and said, hey, they're brand new? I wouldn't put it past them, but I don't know that for sure. There were problems with mold and fumes. The stifling heat inside made Haitians sick, and many of them abandoned the trailers because they were ill-constructed and unusable. Yep, sounds like FEMA to me. The Clintons also funneled $10 million in federal loans to a firm called Innovita, headed by Clinton donor Claudio Osorio. Osorio had loaded its board with Clinton cronies, including longtime Clinton ally General Wesley Clark, Hillary's 2008 finance director Jonathan Mance, and Democratic fundraiser Chris Gorge, who's helped raise millions for the Clintons. Now, normally the loan approval process takes months or even years, but in this case, a government official wrote, former President Bill Clinton is personally in contact with the company to organize its logistical and support needs, and as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton has made available State Department resources to assist with logistical arrangements. Innovita had not even provided an independently audited financial report that's normally a requirement for these kind of applications. This requirement, however, it was waived. On the basis of the Clinton connection, Innovita's application was fast-tracked and approved in just 2 weeks. The company, however, defaulted on the loan and never built one house. An investigation revealed that Osorio had diverted company funds to pay for his Miami Beach mansion, his Maserati, and his Colorado ski chalet. He pleaded guilty to wire fraud and money laundering in 2013 and is currently serving a 12-year prison term on fraud charges related to the loan. Now keep this in mind as I'm relating this to you. How many other people are going to go to jail once this Clinton Foundation deal gets cracked? This movie's coming out, and it's coming out Friday, just in time for Hillary in the November election. Continuing, several Clinton cronies showed up with Bill to a 2011 housing expo that cost more than $2 million to stage. Bill Clinton said it'd be a model for the constructions of thousands of homes in Haiti. In reality, no homes have been built. A few dozen model units were constructed, but even they have been sold. Rather, they are abandoned and they've been taken over by squatters. They talked about building schools. USAID or USAID contracts to remove debris in Port-au-Prince went to a Washington-based company named CHF International. The company's CEO, David Weiss, guess what? A campaign contributor to Hillary in 2008, was Deputy U.S. Trade Representative for North American Affairs during the Clinton administration. the corporate secretary of the board, Lori Fitzpatrick, or Pegrado, served in a number of posts in the Clinton administrations, including assistant secretary of commerce. The Clintons claim to have built schools in Haiti, but the New York Times discovered when it comes to the Clintons, built is a term with a very loose interpretation. Kind of like with Bill is, you know, and what sex is. For example, the newspaper located a school featured in the Clinton Foundation annual report as built through a Clinton Global Initiative commitment to action. In reality, the Clinton Foundation's sole direct contribution to the school was a grant for Earth Day celebration and tree-building activity. There wasn't any mortar, there wasn't any bricks, there wasn't any windows, there weren't any doors, there weren't any roofs, there weren't any desk, there were no blackboards. There was nothing. Tree-building activity and Earth Day celebration. Yeah, that's exactly what they needed. Now, the USAID contracts also went to consulting firms such as New York-based Dahlberg Global Development Advisors, which received $1.5 million contract to identify relocation sites for Haitians. This company is an active participant and a financial supporter of the Clinton Global Initiative. A later review by USAID's Inspector General found that Dahlberg did just a terrible job naming uninhabitable mountains with steep ravines as possible sites for Haitian rebuilding. Foreign governments and foreign companies got Haitian deals in exchange for bankrolling the Clinton Foundation. The foundation lists the Brazilian construction firm OAS and the Inter-American Developmental Bank, or the IDB, as donors that have given in between $1 billion and $5 billion. Now, the IDB receives funding from the State Department, and some of this funding was diverted to OAS for Haitian road-building contracts. Yet an IDB auditor, Mariela Antiga, complained that the contracts were padded with excessive cost to build roads nobody needed. Antiga also alleged that the IDB funds were going to a construction project on private land owned by former Haitian president Preval, which, by the way, is a Clinton buddy, and several of his little cronies. For her efforts to expose this corruption, Antiga was promptly instructed by the IDB to pack her bags and leave Haiti. In 2011, the Clinton Foundation brokered a deal with Digicel, a cell phone service provider seeking to gain access to the Haitian market. Now, this is a little bit odd. I mean, this is not a totally desolate, you know, absolutely totally broke. But you can see where some money for some projects would roll in, a little bit of infrastructure would get built, and maybe a little bit of manufacturing, paying those little Haitians over there a below living wage. You know, I'm sure that they were going to get exploited. But remember Bill? I wonder if Bill Clinton ever made anything off of when he was pushing for computers for all of our schools. Who got that contract? And how much money was given to the Clinton Foundation or to his one of his bids for the president of the United States? Story doesn't explain that, but that's just a question that popped into my mind. Now, back to Digicel here, a cell phone company provider seeking to gain access to the Haitian markets. Now, the Clintons arranged to have Digicel receive millions in U.S. taxpayer money to provide mobile phones. Imagine. What are they going to have, Obama phones over there? Who the hell in Haiti has money to pay for a cell phone? Now, the USAID Food for Peace program, which the State Department administered through Hillary aide Cheryl Mills, distributed Digicel phones free to Haitians. Well, there was your original Obama phone, man. It's called the Clinton phone. Any rate, let's take a break. We'll do a little bit more of this. Telling you, I think what's coming down with Hillary, she's not going to get the presidency. And once that's all over with, I think there's going to be a little conversation like, Hillary, the gig is up. Get your stuff and get gone.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, the State Department administered through Hillary aide Cheryl Mills, they distributed Digicel phones free to the Haitians. Well, was it free? Not any more than Obama phones were to the happy recipients of that little device. I got my Obama phone. Yeah, well, who the hell's paying for it? Well, Digicel didn't just make money off of the U.S. taxpayer. It also made money off of the Haitians. When the Haitians used the phones either to make calls or transfer money, they paid Digicel for the service. Haitians using Digicel's phones also became automatically enrolled in Digicel's mobile program. By 2012, Digicel had taken over three-quarters of the cell phone market in Haiti. Digicel is owned by Dennis O'Brien, a close friend of the Clintons. Well, what a shock that is. O'Brien secured three speaking engagements in his native Ireland and paid him $200,000 apiece. These engagements occurred right at the time that Digicel was making its deal with the U.S. State Department. O'Brien has also donated lavishly to the Clinton Foundation, given between $1 million and $5 million sometime in 2010 to 2011. By the way, coincidentally, the United States government paid Digicel $45 million to open up a hotel in Port-au-Prince. Gee, weren't we called stakeholders, folks? If I go down to Haiti, can I stay in the hotel down there free of charge since I paid for it anyhow? Nah, you never get those kind of perks. Now, perhaps it could be argued that the Haitians could use a high-priced hotel to attract foreign investors and provide jobs for locals. Thus far, however, this particular hotel seems to employ only a few dozen locals, which hardly justifies the sizable investment that went into building the doggone thing. Moreover, there are virtually no foreign investors. The rooms are mostly unoccupied. The ones that are taken seem mainly for the benefits of Digicel's visiting teams. In addition, the Clintons got their cronies to build Caracol Industrial Park. This is a 600-acre garment factory that was... What did I say at the top of this program? To go in there and build stuff to take care of, those cheap labor needs. Jeez. A 600-acre garment factory that was supposed to make clothes for export to the United States and create, according to Bill Clinton, 100,000 new jobs. The project was funded by the U.S. government and cost hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayers' money, the largest single allocation of U.S. relief aid to Haiti. Yet Caracol has proven a massive failure. First, the industrial park was built on farmland, and the farmers had to be moved off their property. Many of them feel they were pushed out and adequately compensated. Some of them lost their livelihoods. Second, Caracol was supposed to include 25,000 homes for Haitian employees. In the end, the Government Accountability Office reports that only around 6,000 homes were built. Third, Caracol has created 5,000 jobs, not 100,000, as originally stated, folks, 5,000 jobs, less than 10% of the jobs promised, or less. Fourth, Caracol is exporting very few products, and most of the facility is abandoned. People stand outside every day looking for work, but there's no work to be had, as Haiti's unemployment rate hovers around 40%. Now, the Clintons say Caracol can still be salvaged, but former Haitian Prime Minister says, "I believe that the momentum to attract people there in a massive way is past. Today, it has failed." Still, the standard of success may not be the same one used by the Clintons. After all, the company that built Caracol with U.S. taxpayers' money have done fine. Even poor Haitians have seen few of the benefits. Then there is this strange and somehow predictable involvement of Hillary Clinton's brother, Hugh Rodham. Now, Rodham put in an application for $22 million from the Clinton Foundation to build homes on 10,000 acres of land that he said a guy in Haiti had donated to him. "I deal through the Clinton Foundation," Rodham told the New York Times. "I hound my brother-in-law because it's his fund and we're going to get our money from. That's where we're going to get our money from," he said. Now, Rodham said he expected to net $1 million personally on the deal. Unfortunately, his application didn't go through. And I'm done with the Haitians and the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation yet, folks. A lot of smoking guns. And like I said, I think Hillary's going to be shown the door. She's too much of a threat to too many people. And not even politically talking about us here, folks. I'm talking about the people that did business with her.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
FoodForLiberty.com sells high-quality storable foods from Numana. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or an outdoor sports enthusiast, FoodForLiberty.com has your prepackaged single-serve packs or kits for the entire family. Numana is known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, super nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. With a 25-year shelf life, you can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. Right now, FoodForLiberty.com is offering a special gift, a heavy-duty Survivor dry storage box designed for extreme bug-out conditions. This storage box is built to last, includes compass, signaling mirror, and is yours free with a $50 order. Go to foodforliberty.com right now and pick up your quality storable foods from Numana. To get the Survivor dry storage box, use promo code LIBERTY. It makes good sense to be prepared. Go to foodforliberty.com.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Brother here had better luck, however, on a second Haitian deal. He mysteriously found himself on the advisory board of a U.S. mining company called VCS. Now, this by itself is kind of odd because Rodham's resume lists no mining experience. Rather, he's a former private detective and a prison guard. Wouldn't it be great to see the guy on the other side of the bars, along with Hillary right next to him? I love that closeness of family, don't you? The mining company, however, seems to have reorganized Rodham's value. They brought him on the board in October of 2013 to help secure a valuable gold mining permit in Haiti. Now, Rodham was promised a finder's fee if he could land the contract. Sure enough, he did. For the first time in 50 years, Haiti awarded two new gold mining permits, and one of them went to the company that had hired Hillary's brother. Now, the deal provoked some outrage in the Haitian Senate. Neither Bill Clinton nor brother of Hillary Clinton are individuals who share the interest of the Haitian people, said Haitian mining representative Samuel Nessner. They are part of the elite class who are operating to exploit the Haitian people. Yeah, is that too harsh of a verdict? I wouldn't go as far as to say the Clintons don't care about Haiti. Yeah, I'd say that. Yet it seems clear that Haitian welfare is not their priority. Their priority is, well, themselves. Now, the Clintons seem to believe in Haitian reconstruction and Haitian investment as long as these projects match their own private economic interest. They have steered the rebuilding of Haiti in a way that provides maximum benefit to themselves. And it's no wonder that the Clintons refused to meet with the Haitian protesters. Each time the protesters showed up, the Clintons were nowhere to be seen. They have never directly addressed the Haitians' claim, strangely enough. Well, now does that shock anybody? And does it shock anybody that the American news media has never thought to ask these questions? And what do you want to make a... Now, dollars to donuts here. What do you want to make a bet once D'Souza's movie comes out? Unless somebody else piles on Hillary Clinton for the Clinton Foundation, you'll never hear a peep about this. They have never directly addressed the Haitians' claims, and strangely enough, they have never been required to do so. The progressive media, as this story reads, scarcely covered the Haitian protests. Somehow the idea of Haitian black people calling out the Clintons as aid money thieves did not appeal to the grand poobahs at CBS News, the New York Times, or even National Public Radio. Now, for most Democrats, the topic is both touchy and distasteful. It's one thing to rob from the rich, but quite another to rob from the poorest of the poor. Some of the Democratic primary support for Bernie Sanders was undoubtedly due to the Democrats' distaste over financial shenanigans of the Clintons. Probably these Democrats considered the Clintons to be unduly grasping the opportunistic, an embarrassment to the great traditions of the Democratic Party. Yeah. Yeah, that must be it. Like I said, this movie hits on Friday. And there's a lot of information in there about the Clinton Foundations and all the people, not all of them, but a good number of them that were involved with the Clinton Foundation. Now, Benghazi is one thing, her being Secretary of State. Clinton emails are one thing, as her being Secretary of State. But money laundering? That's a horse of a different color. And I can see this happening. You know, I put on my fantasy hat today after watching the RNC last night. And the one thing that occurred to me, Donald Trump's oldest son, I'm sitting there watching this guy in front of this crowd at the RNC, and something crept into my mind. Could we be looking at a Trump type of dynasty? You know, Donald Trump's going to be 74, what, almost 75 years by the time his term is up. And that's assuming, of course, that he gets the presidency. If he's not shot, he doesn't fall ill. And what do you think that Donald Trump will do with the Justice Department? If Hillary Clinton is still around, I kind of think that Donald Trump would take a particular delight in going after Hillary Clinton. But I'm telling you, folks, I'm watching this thing last night, and I'm thinking, you know what? I see some other people that are going to come out of this Trump family. They're going to be running in politics. Remember the Kennedys? Remember Joe? His three sons? Teddy? Johnny? And Bobby? And that's, of course, to assume that most of the crooks are scared out of Washington, D.C. for fear of punishment in a court. See, you know, I've often wondered, and there's an old saying about, well, locks on doors just keep people honest. People won't take the extra effort. Would you walk through an unlocked door and steal something if it wasn't locked? Does it alter the fact that you're still stealing? Or are you to be given credit because of the extra effort that took you to get to the booty? I think Hillary Clinton is just about done. She's sloppy. FBI got that right. She's sloppy. And when you're dealing with Pandora's box, you can't get that sloppy, because that has a tendency to start bringing people down. This is one that the Clintons may not be able to run from. Or, as I said earlier, they may be given a choice. Look, get gone, and get real gone real soon. Take your ill-gotten gains and get the hell out of town, and don't darken our door again. Just a thought. By the way, remember me saying a couple of months ago about the Bundys and this federal trial that's supposed to take place? And initially I said, you watch, this is not going to happen until after the elections. Well, it's getting a little strange here. And last Friday, a judge made a stunning ruling in the Bundy case, just in case you were wondering. Western Journalism sent this by Scott Mason. The Las Vegas Review-Journal reports that without the benefit of a public hearing, the U.S. federal judge, Peggy Lien, spelled L-E-E-N, has issued an order ruling that no transcripts, reports, or witness statements of any kind may be disclosed by the defense team for all 19 defendants in the 2014 armed standoff between Clive and Bundy's camp and the FBI. Lien made her decision Friday, citing potential death threats against prosecutors as justification. It's not what these people want. They want to expose the information in a court. And you can't have a court without prosecutors or a judge, folks. So what would they have to gain by inciting people to kill the prosecutors? Makes absolutely no sense at all. She wrote that the government has made a sufficient threshold showing of actual and potential threats, intimidation and harassment to victims, witnesses and law enforcement officials to show good cause for a protective order restricting dissemination of pretrial discovery. Lien continued saying that the common law or First Amendment right for the, this is rather odd that she used this term, that a common law or First Amendment right for the press and the public to access the government's pretrial evidence does not exist. Though all information obtained through open sources such as the internet or social media would be accessible. Well, was there even a grand jury that was impaneled on this? Now, a grand jury, both sides get to bring the evidence in to... Oh, but that's right. It was the federales that were making the charges. Still, there should have been a grand jury proceeding, and that should have been made public. But, of course, it wasn't. Ammon Bundy's attorney, Dan Hill, was not pleased with the judge's decision. He said it's unfortunate that so much information is going to be kept from the public in this case. Ammon Bundy has never hidden anything. It is now the government wants to prosecute him in secret. He says, I will continue to fight for justice in this case despite the government's efforts to keep the information hidden. Chris Rasmussen, the attorney for defendant Pete Santilli, shared Hill's opinion and says he plans to file an appeal on behalf of his client. He wants this trial to be open to the public, and he wants the public to see all the evidence so that it can prove their innocence. Maggie McClutchy, an attorney who represents Las Vegas Review-Journal, Battleborne Media, and the Associated Press, said she was disappointed with the judge's decision. From the media's perspective, the order still cloaks much of the information about this case in secrecy despite the heightened need for transparency the judge recognized when allowing the media to intervene. McClutchy said, deeply troubling that so many documents will automatically be hidden from public view. By the way, the trial is currently set for February 6th in the U.S. District Court. I can see this as being a Donald Trump thing. I think this is going to be one of the things that test this guy's mettle. Let me go to the phones here. Joel in Wisconsin. Hello, Joel.
Howdy.
Hi.
What sparked me to call was you talking about Trump, if he becomes president, going after Hillary.
Yeah.
Are you aware of who he chose for his attorney general?
No, I am not.
Okay. His name is Trey Gowdy, and for those who aren't familiar with him, he's the guy who chaired the committee, the congressional committee, to investigate Benghazi, who discovered, only for the first time after the other investigations on her, that there even was a private email server. and he really got the goods on her, but he can't get anywhere because he's from the Congress, and he can't get the Justice Department to do anything. So that is who Trump has already chosen as his attorney general. So talk about going after Hillary.
Whoa.
Has already got all the goods.
Whoa. When did this happen? When did Trump say that he's going to pick Gowdy as the attorney general?
Within the last month, I don't have a direct date on it, but I have read it, and Gowdy was actually, he wasn't really that much for Trump in the first place, because he was that young guy, I can't think of his name, the senator that little something, that Trump called little something.
Oh, Marco Rubio.
Yes, Gowdy was a Marco Rubio supporter, but then Marco's not in a race anymore. And then Trump chose him to be his attorney general. And then, of course, Gowdy then is now a supporter of Trump.
Well, if Gowdy is any kind of a person that people think that he is, given a free rein to do something about the crime and corruption in Washington, D.C., and I can think of no better place to start than with the Clintons and work backwards to the Bushes and everybody else. So this, I got to be honest with you, Joel. I vacillate back and forth between Donald Trump being the greatest president this country is ever going to have, and something ain't right in Denmark.
I understand that.
You're from Wisconsin up there.
Yes.
And you're right next to Canada. Anyhow, I'll leave that alone. Anyway,
well, I look at it, and I was not for Trump in the first place. I actually thought he was there to put Hillary in, but since then I have warmed up to him quite a bit. And I look at it this way: what option do we have? I mean, let's say he is a crook like all the rest, and then we're right back where we were. But if he's I'm just looking at, if he's not, then some of us have hope.
Well, and Joel, they keep digging. They keep digging and digging and digging on Trump. And the worst that they can get is a failed state company, Trump Airlines. He's filed bankruptcy several times. And anybody in the business world, there are people out there that specialize in bankruptcy. They'll start something, steal some money, and then bankrupt the place and walk with the funds. I don't think that's who Donald Trump is. I think he's made his business mistakes, but I don't think the guy is crooked. He played by the rules that were given him, and he in it so much admitted that, Bill and Hillary, they were at my wedding. Basically, he said that he rented them as he would have is anybody else knocking on the doors in Washington, D.C., wanting some compliance and help from the government to do wonderful things.
Sure. As a businessman, you look at it from one perspective, but then as a president, you would look at it from another perspective. And there was a little, like a five-minute video, not very long, that's it says, if you watch this, you will, it'll might turn you around on Trump. It showed him years and years past when he's talked about the corruption in government, and that they would always ask him. This goes way back when he was young, you know. And they would say, would you run for president? He said, I really don't want to. I like what I'm doing, but I would like somebody else that, you know, that would. And then they showed him a little older saying the same thing, And then finally he says, well, nobody's just stepping up to the plate. Somebody's got to do it. So he said from the beginning he didn't really want to, but nobody else is, so he's going to do it.
And he's looking out, I'm sure, for his own holdings.
Sure.
Let's be honest. Everybody looks out after their self-interest or what's closest to them to maintain that. All right, Joel, I appreciate your call, my friend.
Okay, so long.
All right, let's take this break, come back on the other side, take some more calls, more information coming your way. Still a little bit antsy here, folks, but not as bad as yesterday, but I still feel something is in the works, and it ain't small.
Poor water quality is a major health issue, and it's only getting worse. Municipalities can't keep up, standards have dropped, and pollutants are increasing. Where does it all end? It ends by keeping the pollutants outside of your home with HydroCare's advanced systems available at Wave Home Solutions. No less than the best purification materials and processes have been developed by HydroCare to provide you with healthy, clean water for drinking, cooking, and showering. HydroCare far surpasses the competition in removing chlorine, odors, iron, lead, chemicals, limescale, and much more. Don't settle for less when it comes to your water. We'll take care of the toughest water problems for you, whether it's from a city or well source. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 888-997-WAVE. That's 888-997-WAVE. Or go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
I was having this in-depth, really intriguing conversation with the board op during the break. What is white? If brown is brown and black is black, what is white? Isn't that a color in a Crayola box? Mike says it was peach. Joe in Texas, you're up next. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, John.
Hi.
Something of an artist, I think white is the absence of all colors.
and then what's black?
You told me
you don't have enough light to see what color it is, right?
I think if you put all the different colors on a wheel and spin the wheel very fast, you won't see any of the colors. You'll see white. I don't know how that works, but I tried it. It actually occurs. I just want to say I agree with Joel. The first clip I saw of Donald Trump was like 25 years ago, an interview with Oprah, and he said exactly what Joel said. He says, you know, he has no plans now, but he'll consider it.
You know, what better cap? You know, it's hard to sit back and make observations. You know, you can only go by the clips that you see, the articles that are read, or the books that he wrote. And, you know, you can draw your own personal conclusions. But with a guy like Trump, now, you got to have a large ego to do what this guy does. I mean, an ego is not necessarily a bad thing, and it doesn't necessarily mean arrogance. It can mean self-confidence, that you have a large ego, but you have that which supports that ego. Now, I've met people with large egos that you don't really want to be around them, and then other people with the larger egos that are kind of fascinating, and they're movers and shakers. You know, he's in the latter category. And yes. what better way for this guy to go out? I mean, 70 years old, come on. I mean, obviously he's more at the tail end of his life than he is the beginning.
Sure.
And what better way to go out than to see problems that are all around, and for him, easily fixable, just by getting the crooks and the cronies the hell out of the way. I don't know. And after watching his son last night, I'm thinking to myself, you know, if Trump does the presidency, I can see his kid running in 2020. And by that time, if Trump proves to be one-tenth of what he has portrayed himself to be, or people think that he is, it might be a shoe-in for his son for 2020.
Can't tell. What I wanted to address was Hillary being the kind of person, or the Clintons being, you know, as they are. I remember shortly after the two of them were first installed in the White House, they wasn't long before 936 FBI files were discovered in the White House, you know, against the law, so that they could peruse and get lots of dirt on everybody. And it wasn't the following election, the interim election for congressmen and so forth. 28 congressmen decided to retire to spend more time with their family. I think in this case, if Trump was elected, he wouldn't go after Hillary with the Justice Department or any other way, because she'd probably spend whatever it takes to get some good dirt on him. That's the kind of person she is.
I like I said, though, if there was any real dirt, and it isn't for lack of looking.
I know. I heard you. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Juicy dirt, yeah, I know.
Let's just put it this way. We'll see.
I know, but I also share your unease that we're not exactly sure, you know, who or what Trump is or might be, and we're a little cautious about what we don't know. I don't know how else to put it. I personally can't say, I'm comfortable, you know, with the potential, because with him there is hope, some, and with Hillary there is none.
There is none. Hey, Joe, got to run. Thanks for your call. Top of the hour break, second hour of the National Intel Report coming up.
My name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-3333. 2001.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.